Welcome, everyone, to that river of anointing that flows every Sunday at this time when we join you from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. This is Living the Good Life, and we are so glad you have joined us today, no matter where you might be, in your car, in your home. We have a lot of listeners in different parts of the globe, and so we are excited that you are listening today to Living the Good Life. We're going to have a great time talking about God and about His Word and answers to prayer. And my good friend, Connie, are you on the line? Are you there, Con?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, there you are. Okay, we don't have the pleasure of having you in the studio with us today, but maybe next week, right?
Yeah,
your work schedule is a little different and getting ready to walk into the hospital here pretty soon, so we'll have you for a while. Connie, God is answering prayer. Amen and amen. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Oh, isn't it a joy to see the work that's being done in people's lives? It is, isn't it? Can you speak up just a minute, Connie? Or maybe we need to get you up a little higher, Lee. I don't know.
Which is that better?
There you go. That's better. Yeah, I could barely hear you.
It helps when you talk into the phone.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, it really does.
Oh,
and see, you just miss being here in front of your microphone, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're glad you
been
could join. Yeah, it's been a while. You've had a busy schedule, and we have quite a group on our radio team now. And do you remember when we first started, Connie? You were on the very first show with me, mm-hmm. back in April of 2007.
And we weren't even doing them live then.
No, that first one was not live,
one,
was
yeah.
it?
First one was taped, and then we just couldn't stand it.
We couldn't stand it, could we? After that very first one, I think that was the only taped one we ever did. From that point on, it was like, let's do it live. Let's make, you know.
Yeah.
And so what's coming up here in April, Connie? You want to tell our listening audience what we're going to be celebrating?
Our third year.
The third year anniversary of Living the Good Life. Absolutely. Which means, Connie, we've been on the air 90 minutes a clip every Sunday live for 3 years almost, which we will celebrate April. You told me today, April 25. Is that right?
Yes.
That's anniversary yes. Sunday. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have a big party that day, and it's going to be fun. So we want our listeners to mark that on their calendar for April. That's a couple months away, and we're going to celebrate all that God has done through this radio ministry in the last 3 years. And Connie, we are just excited that God hears and answers our prayers. I don't know about you, but I would hate to live in this world without knowing that I had God Almighty that I could run to at any time, all the time. Don't you feel that way, too? I know you do.
Yeah, he's like a safety net.
It is, isn't he? He's our big safety net, you know? Are there days, Connie, where you just feel like you're talking to him most of the day, and then, you know, you being in the health field and in the hospital and working nights, you see, take care of babies, you see a whole lot of things. Isn't it wonderful to know that you can just call on God when maybe you're having a difficult time with a patient, isn't it?
Yeah, or if I have a baby that's not doing well or something, I'll, you know, just take time and pray and ask for him to intervene in the mess.
Exactly. And in our own lives that we each, you know, live each day, not just in our work, but in our families and our life circumstances, knowing that God cares about what's going on in our lives. Connie, did you always know that God cared? I know you grew up in church. Can you amplify on that a little bit? Was there ever a time that you weren't so sure that God cared about you?
Well, I'm sure there were times where, I can remember different times when I drifted away and did my own thing, wanted to do the world thing. And but I think I always felt like I knew that he was there, whether he liked what I was doing or not. He probably didn't. But I knew that I could always call on him for help.
You were just confident of that. You grew up knowing that. And there's people out there maybe listening today that don't have that kind of a relationship, a bond with God. And I don't know about you, Connie, but I don't know. I would hate to live this life a day without knowing that God was right there for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a really cool song that Avalon does that is called I Can't Live a Day Without You.
Oh,
and it's just it's phenomenal. Maybe I'll put that into music next week.
That sounds good with what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
We're starting a series on miracles, and
your favorite.
I mean, you know why that is, Connie? It's because I have seen God move in people's lives all my life, growing up as a missionary's kid, pastor's kid, and on the mission field, and then just as my adult life as a pastor for so many years. I have seen God do so many miracles. And I think that the whole concept of miracles gets a bad rap sometimes. People don't really believe, maybe, that God can and will and wants to do miracles today in this day and age.
I agree. He just wants to have a relationship with us. And I think for some people to get to really realize what he is about and what he wants to do in their lives, he has to make a big impression.
He does, doesn't he?
Part of that is doing a little, big, whatever size miracle that there is.
Right. Yeah, and he wants us to realize that something has happened on our behalf that is greater than anything we could have done. In fact, I said this morning, and you've heard me say it probably 100 times, Connie, you can't have a miracle without an impossibility, right?
I think I've quoted it about a million times.
I mean, and we get so bent out of shape when the impossibilities, the difficult things in our life come up, and we get so stressed out over it. Yet that is the what do I want to call it? I'm thinking of my chemistry lab years ago. You know, where you put everything together and it's in a test tube, and then you see this reaction, and it's like you got to have an impossibility, and then you got to have God there, and then you got to have us going, okay, God, we need your help. You know, we got to mix it all up.
The whole formula.
That's the formula. You know, miracles happen because we choose to believe that God can and will intervene in our lives. And that's what we want to talk about today. We are going to go to Matthew chapter 5. So, Connie, you can join me as I teach and throw in your comments. Pastor Deb out in Texas is going to join us maybe about the 5:15 time, because Connie will be getting ready for work. And, Connie, you can stay on at that time as long as you want to. So everybody knows that we've already – this is how we just planned the show just then. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Matthew chapter 5 in a minute. Connie, tell us about this first song that you're putting on the show today. Here Comes a Miracle by Ray Bolts.
It's Ray Bolts is just an incredible songwriter, and it just talks about here comes a miracle, and can't you feel it in the air, and it just goes through the process of a couple different kinds of miracles that happen in people's lives.
All right. We're going to listen to this and then start preparing your heart to receive your miracle today. Here comes a miracle.
They followed him on dusty roads, wherever he would lead. Multitudes would gather as he healed each disease. With eyes of wonder, they would watch as he would stop to pray. And when he spoke the word of faith, you could hear them say, here comes a miracle. Here comes a miracle.
Oh, can't you feel it?
Can't you feel it in the air? That look is on his face. His glory is in this place. And I know the lame could walk, the deaf could hear, blinded eyes could see, and those who had been bound for years were suddenly set free. They came in desperation,
the hurting and the poor. When they saw him through the crowd, they knew what was in store. Here comes a miracle. Here comes a miracle. Someday all men will see the truth when we see him in the
God, a miracle is near. Connie, are you on? Oh,
yes.
My gosh. What a song to begin this series. Boy, you just did it, didn't you? Oh, that is fantastic. I love that. I love Ray Bolts, but I love that song. Mm-hmm. Nothing he said is impossible. You know, and we just limit God. And in the next few weeks, as we lead up to Resurrection Sunday, we are going to start believing God for some absolutely incredible things in people's lives. There are people out there today, Connie, I believe, that are listening that need a miracle, that there's something going on in their life that has been huge, that they just can't overcome, let's say, or a financial miracle that's needed, or a healing in their body. And we have seen so much of that in this past few years, haven't we? Especially in the last year, we just saw,
Absolutely. Oh, 09,
we had some cancer miracles where people are now totally healed. We have had some amazing answers to prayer, financially and all kinds of things. Matthew chapter 5, and Connie, I want you to just jump in and with your comments whenever you want to.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, and I'm in the Message Bible, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Connie, are we one of some of the committed ones? Are we climbing with Jesus?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. And this is what he said. There's a few verses here that I just can't get out of my heart here. Listen to them. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you is more of God and his rule. Now, I don't know about you, Connie, but I've had times in my life where I felt like I was at the end of my rope. And you know, this verse kind of starts off our miracle series, because I believe there's people that have feeling that, maybe feel it right this moment as they're listening to this broadcast, that they're at the end of their rope in some situation. Maybe it's in a relationship they're in. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe they're getting ready to lose their house, or they just lost their job, or whatever the case may be. Jesus says here, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. Ever felt that way, Connie?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Ever felt that you're at the end of your rope, that you can't take any more? I've heard people say, I can't take one more thing in my life. Not one more thing. I've got to, I heard somebody recently say in my office, I've got to go get some comfort food because I can't take one more issue today. Mm-hmm. You know?
I've been at the end of my rope in financial issues before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before I really knew or felt like I knew what God could do for me.
Yes.
And now as situations come, you know, I mean, he always comes through and he always shows you that he is there and that he's willing to do whatever you need.
Yes.
You know, as long as it's within his will for
right.
you. But, you know, I mean, I don't like ask him to give me the winning lottery numbers or something like that, you know, unless he wants to.
Unless he wants
always,
to, that'd be
you know,
fine, too.
If you want to, that'll be okay, too.
Yeah, and if that happens, then I want you to remember me. Okay.
Oh, don't worry.
Okay.
So, but, but after learning how he wants to be a part of my life.
Yes.
He's the person that, instead of freaking out about things, I just say, you know what? Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Make it happen. And I have never, like for the longest, I can't even remember the last time I ever had a problem with my checking account.
Right.
Well, I did a few weeks ago. And I'm like, okay, please, could you take care of this? And everything was fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's those day-to-day things.
It is.
That, you know, and I know a lot of times we talk about praise reports and stuff in church, but there's so many things that happen every day.
Oh, aren't there?
That,
oh.
You know, and to me, they're not, they're a big deal to me, but I don't think they'll be a big deal to anybody else. You know, so I don't, like, go around telling everybody everything all the time, but I do, you know, as situation, you know, close people around
sure.
me or people that are near at the time, you know. But, I mean, I'm not somebody that sits in church and makes a list of everything and rambles on and on and on. But there are tons of things that he does every day.
Every day. Every day.
Yeah.
It's a way of life, don't you think?
Yeah, and almost all of them are miracles.
Yes.
I mean, if you really want to classify them, they're all miracles.
Absolutely.
Because he makes something happen out of nothing, or what you think, what we see with our eyes is nothing.
Absolutely. I so agree. Verse 4 of Matthew 5 says, Jesus says, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. There might be some people listening today that have just lost a loved one in their life, maybe through death, maybe through divorce, maybe through breaking up of a relationship or whatever the case may be. And when you have lost big, a lot of times you hurt big. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so painful. It's so painful. And you were with me, Connie, a couple years ago through the death of my dad and with mm-hmm. the leukemia and watching him suffer and knowing that God was going to take him home. And you know, when somebody that's been that huge in your life and has, you know, has he did and shaped my life spiritually and allowed me to see God from the time I was just an infant on, you know, and taught me.
Absolutely.
It's a huge loss on this earthly plane, you know. Mm-hmm. But knowing that I'm going to see him again and knowing that he did his purpose, he fulfilled his purpose on this earth. There might be some people right now that are listening that need a miracle of comfort. Okay? Because God needs to comfort us sometimes when we lose a relationship, when we lose, you know, maybe, you know, just through a death or divorce or whatever. Let's go on with verse 5. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You know, Connie, I think it's a miracle for people to accept themselves where they are. I think a lot of times we accept others better than we accept ourselves. Do you want to comment on that? And our listening audience needs to know, this isn't scripted. Our show is live right out of the, you know, right straight from the Holy Spirit. So Connie doesn't have an answer that she's been given. And we're just chatting. So did you forget the question I even asked you now?
No, because I like that verse. First of all, the what we're reading right now is called the Beatitudes.
Yes, it is.
And I love the way the Message does the Beatitudes.
Oh, I do too.
And, you know, when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less, that's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought.
Yes.
And in life today, I walk around and I see kids, I see adults, that all they're trying to do is pile on things.
Yeah.
You know, because they think if they buy something, it's going to make them happy.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And, you know, they keep buying and buying and buying, or they want and want and want.
Yes.
And they see that their friends maybe are better off financially than they are, and they, you know, want and want and want. When in reality, someday they'll learn, someday sooner than later, I hope, that they'll learn what's important in life. And
yes.
It's not the things.
It's not the things
because
at all.
Because those things aren't going anywhere with you.
No.
And
they get out of style, you know?
Right, they get out of style. And even if it's power and wealth.
Right.
People think that they have power because they're wealthy. That may be true, but the bottom line is they're not taking that with them either.
Right.
And if you don't live your life the way, in a godly way on earth, you're not going to spend any time in heaven.
Exactly.
You know, and it's frustrating for me sometimes when I see and I think of the kids that have such a peer pressure.
Yes.
With, you know, amongst each other over clothes that they wear to school and this designer that and what kind of car they show up in when they're dropped off at school and
right,
you know, all those kinds of things. And in the bottom line, it's how we've lived our lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, talking about these miracles, it really is a miracle when we get to a point in our lives where the things, the power, the control, the peer pressure, those things don't begin to matter to us anymore like they used to. Instead, like we see here, when we get to the point where we're content with just who we are, you know, mm-hmm. and where we are in life, that in itself is a miracle, Connie, when we accept ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
And let's go on to, I appreciate your comments there. Number six, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, that means full of care for others, you find yourselves cared for. Don't you find it a great miracle, Connie, when you find people in life that actually care whether you live or die, mm-hmm. or people that care whether or not they spend time with you, or people that care about you if you're hurting, that try to comfort you? And you know, it is a miracle when we begin to understand that living this Christian life the way God wants us to live it does reward us here on this earth with friendships, with people in our lives that love us, and all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm looking ahead at verse 8, and this was where I was headed to and on this, and I really want to kind of amplify on this, because as we prepare to receive these miracles in this miracle season at Beacon of Hope and on this radio show, the first point I made this morning at Beacon of Hope in my sermon was preparation, that we've got to prepare ourselves, okay? So verse 8 is where I was going, but I just couldn't eliminate those first 7 verses,
right.
Too. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. When Pastor Deb comes on in a little while, I want her to comment on that too. Mm-hmm. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Now, that is saying, Connie, that our inside world, our minds and our hearts are not always right and right on, are they?
No.
What happens? Talk to me about that.
Well, you worry too much about what other people think. You're serving two gods.
Right.
You want to be with God, but then you want to be with the world.
Right.
And so everything is twisted inside of you because you're tempted by the world things and trying to fit in and belong and be a part of the world.
Right.
You don't want to be different because they'll say you're a freak. You know, your friends will say you're freaky or,
right.
You know, we don't want to be friends with you.
Or they'll say, oh, you're just too religious. We don't want to be around you. And,
right.
You know,
you're a Jesus freak.
Oh, you're a Jesus freak, right. And when in reality, in order to receive the miracles, I think miracles are there for us to receive, Connie. I believe this after years of walking in this walk. I believe that so often miracles are missed by people. They're just missed because they don't have their miracle eyeglasses on. You know what I'm saying? It's like going to a 3D movie. And did you see Avatar in 3D?
No.
Oh, you got to do it. And when you put those 3D glasses on, I mean, it is amazing, that movie. It is incredible. But if you sat there, because I took them off when I was in the show back in December, I took them off for a minute just to see how it looked without it. Oh, I mean, it's night and day difference. Okay.
It's blurry.
Yeah. You can't see it. You can't really understand. It just doesn't look good. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got to wear the right spectacles, you know? Eyeglasses. You gotta wear the right ones. And if you don't, you don't see it for all that it is. The dimensions, you know? You know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, and part of the perspective, too, has to do with you yourself believing that you are worthy of receiving.
Oh, that's huge.
I mean, that's the biggest part, probably.
Don't you think? Absolutely.
Because if you don't have your mindset right, you're not going to know where to look anyway for a miracle and what to do.
And why is it, Connie, that so many people don't feel worthy to receive a miracle? In fact, they think, oh, that's just some big televangelist thing, and that's not really, that's hocus pocus, and, you know, that's not true, that's not really possible. Why is it, and I know the devil has done a number on people's minds to get them to believe that miracles are not for today, but they are for today, because you and I have seen many of them, right? You know, why is it that we are more easily swayed by the lie of the devil that says miracles aren't for today than we are by the truth of God's word that says that Jesus said nothing is impossible with God?
I don't know. People just shy away from anything that has to do with religion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they'd rather read a tabloid
right. That
says all kinds of garbage
right.
and believe it
yes.
than they would to read the Bible and believe it.
You are exactly right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but you're right, and that is very common for people to do. And hold that thought, Connie. We're going to stay on verse 8 there when we come back from station identification. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. From Beacon of Hope Ministries, be right back. Don't go anywhere.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
And we welcome every single one of you that are out there listening today. We're glad you've joined us from Beacon of Hope Ministries. This is Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and my good cohort and sidekick, Connie Farmer, is calling in today from her phone. Next week, she'll be at her mic here in the studio because she's got to work today in just a few minutes. But, Connie, we're talking about a very important thing. We've started a new series today, Expect a Miracle. Expect a miracle, okay? Mm-hmm. Expecting miracles is what it's about. I think so often, Connie, we don't expect them because you just said it right before we went to the break. We don't expect them because we don't think we are worthy to receive them. You want to talk about that?
Well, so many people have been beaten down by life, by people in their lives, people that they work with, people, you know, growing up or whatever.
Right.
You know, they've met with bad consequences at jobs or partners or family or, you know, and they just, every time they turn around, they're getting slapped
down. They're getting slapped down, right. And so they begin to get to the opinion that God doesn't want to bless me. God doesn't have any miracles in store for me. I'm just a lowly peon, you know, working here and trudging through life and, you know, that kind of thing and feeling so down and discouraged. And I propose today, Connie, that we got to change our mindset if we're going to receive and get the miracles that God wants for us.
Exactly. That's part of the preparation.
That's the preparation. Let's look at verse 8 here again. You're blessed when you get your inside world. This is what Jesus said. Your mind and your heart put right, okay? Then you can see God in the outside world. Don't you think, just like the 3D goggles, if you go to a movie in 3D and don't put them on, don't you think that so often God is right there working in your circumstances, but you can't see it because your inside mind is all messed up with depression, anxiety, fear, worry, doubt, unbelief? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. All of that.
All of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have it all going on.
Right. And don't you think that's extremely common? And this is why people, when you say the word miracle, they kind of think you're weird and a fanatic because it's...
it's yeah, they think we're weird all the time anyway.
They do. That's exactly right. And maybe we are. But
I like being weird.
You do. You know what it is, Connie, is we are just... dare to believe that God answers prayer today, that God heals bodies today, that God sets people free from the bondages they've had all their lives, that God sets people free from abuse and from abusive situations that they've been in where they've been so hurt. We just dare to believe that God wants to set people free from all forms of bondage. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And don't you think that we have to do something, prepare our hearts. And that's what I was preaching on this morning about the preparation to receive a miracle. We're going to talk more about it Wednesday night at our Bible study. And while I've got you on the line, before we go back to verse 8, Connie, tell people what happens at Beacon of Hope on Wednesday night and, you know, invite them and all that while I get a drink of water here.
Okay. We meet around 6:15, 6:30 for prayer service. And then 7 o'clock, we have our Bible study. And we have tables set up. We have paper and pencil and extra Bibles if somebody doesn't happen to bring theirs. And we just dissect the Word of God.
Absolutely. And that's in our location at 3580 Almerton in Clearwater. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and get directions and all that. Connie, this week, I'm going to be teaching on this preparation to receive a miracle. And I'm going to, you know, as we do on Wednesday night, we're going to get everybody dialoguing on this, you know, and talking about it. Because there is, we first have to establish that there is a need to be prepared to receive it, okay? Does that mean that God can't just slap you with a miracle and you weren't even ready at all? Yeah, but we're going to put ourselves in the right place at the right time to receive the miracle. You know
the
what I'm
best.
Saying?
Mm-hmm. Because he wants the best for us.
Well, and you know, I was really thinking today a lot. I've been glued to the Olympics, you know, the Winter Olympics, and this is 2010. And I was just noticing how these people have prepared for this event.
Oh, yeah. Years.
Isn't it amazing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't just wake up, you know, a couple weeks ago and go, you know what, I think I'll go over there to Vancouver and, you know, and I think I'll ski down this hill and just see how I do, you know? But, Connie, in our spiritual lives, we take it that way so often. You know, I'll just try this Jesus thing. Maybe I'll read my Bible once every couple months. Maybe I'll go to church, whatever I feel like it. Maybe once every 3 or 4 months, whatever. Don't you see the absolute discrepancy in people's lives when it comes to spiritually, how important that is to them versus even something like the Olympics?
It's kind of like a roller coaster ride for them.
Yeah. Don't you think? I mean,
yeah. Because they come to church and get pumped up,
yeah,
and they're on the top part of the roller coaster, and then something hits them through the week or during the time that they decided they got pumped up enough, and something happens to them, and then they don't know what to do.
Exactly.
They don't know how to handle it.
Exactly. Because the preparation, the heart preparation really hasn't taken place. So let's go back to verse 8 of Matthew 5 before we get Pastor Devin here. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Now, that's saying you can get your inside world put right. That's saying you're going to be blessed if you pay attention to your inside world. And not to belabor the Olympics thing, but Connie, I just think Lindsey Vonn is incredible. You know, the downhill skier?
Yes.
And I noticed, and they've pointed it out, that when she's at the top of the hill before she's ready to go down, she is, with her eyes closed, she is going through and seeing every turn. Have you watched her move her head and all that?
I saw her last night, yeah.
Isn't it amazing? And she's playing a movie in her head of how that turn's going to be. And she's living it out inside before she ever goes down that hill. And I think that's a great metaphor for this, because Jesus is saying to us, you got to do something on your inside world, in your mind and your heart. You got to get it put right so that you can see everything out there correctly, which just goes along with this verse, because Lindsay, for instance, is one of those that programs, that goes through that whole program in her head, tilting her head a certain way with her eyes closed. And then when she opens her eyes and gets ready to go down the hill, she's already been through the run, you know?
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I can't stress enough how important it is that we get ourselves in position to receive the miracle. If you're going to go down the hill on a downhill skiing event at the Olympics, you got to start at the top of the hill, right? They don't let you start like halfway down the hill, do they?
Mm-mm.
You got to start where you got to start, right?
Right. Everybody's got to start the same.
Everybody's got to work on this, you know? And I think, Connie, so often we get lazy. That word, you know, we need to do a whole show on laziness, you know?
Yeah. Rebuke it.
Oh, man. Don't you see that in so many of us, that we just get just like, oh, yeah, well, God's there, yeah. And we don't take it for the big deal that it is, you know, the miracle working power of God.
No, because everything's going pretty smooth and they're complacent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But when something happens that jerks their life around,
yes,
then they don't know what to do.
Right.
And sometimes they call on him and sometimes they don't.
That's exactly right. And so often the option of a miracle is not even an option. Because
right.
if you're not in that frame of mind where you believe that when Jesus said nothing is impossible with God, that he meant that. And that's Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, where Jesus said, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. Okay? And if you're not in that framework, Jeremiah chapter 30, I think it is, says, is there anything too big for God? You know, is there anything that God can't do? And as we go through this whole series prior to Resurrection Sunday on believing and expecting a miracle, I'm going to ask this question over and over again. Is there anything too big for God? Is there anything? Mm-hmm. If there's some things, then point them out to me. I want to hear them, you know? You know, if there's something that's just too big for God, you know, we've got to start seeing this whole concept differently than we have, Connie.
Yes, absolutely.
Why did you pick this next song? And after this song, Pastor Deb's going to join all three of us. And then, Connie, you stay on as long as you can. I know you got to go to work. But
yeah, I'm going to, during this song, I'm going to get in the car and start rolling. So
okay,
you'll have to let me know if you can hear me or not on the song.
All right. That sounds good. It's Miracles by New Song. Tell us about this song.
It just talks about being a miracle myself and that they believe in miracles.
Yes. Praise God. Amen. All right. Miracles by New Song.
I never saw a man that walked on water. I never heard a voice could calm the sea. Raise the dead or feed 5,000. But in my heart I do believe.
was in a desperate situation, drowning in a sea of my own sin. And it would take a miracle to save me. That's when I reached toward heaven, felt someone touch me. I looked up. Signs and wonders, they miss the greatest miracle of all. Well, it's a miracle of sweet salvation. Well, that's when the God of heaven comes down to live inside of someone's heart.
Wow, I believe in miracles. Pastor Deb Reasonover from Houston, Texas. Are you on the line?
I am here.
Connie, can we hear you? She'll be back in a minute. Okay, she'll be back in a minute. Pastor Deb, you've been listening to this?
I have.
What do you think about this new series we started today, Expecting a Miracle?
I think it's awesome because I think every day we should expect a miracle.
Yes.
And it's not just that big miracle. It's that little bitty miracle that we get every day.
Exactly. All the things all day long. In fact, I think maybe we should title this series Expecting Miracles, plural, because it's not just one. You are so right. Good point. Connie, are you back with us? Nope, not yet. All right. I thought saw the light and thought it was her. Deb, talk to me about this thing about getting our hearts right to expect, because today I was teaching on, and you know what? You and Alice didn't make it to church today. Could it be that because you were still in Houston?
Because we're 1,000 miles away.
Oh, maybe that was it. Is that why? Okay. All right. We forgive you for that for the moment. But anyway, I was teaching on 1 Samuel chapter 16, and it is the story where God tells Samuel, the prophet, that King Saul is no longer in God's good graces and that he is going to go anoint a new king. And they go to Bethlehem, which Samuel and God, I'm meaning they, go to Bethlehem to anoint a new king, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the first part of 1 Samuel 16 is so cool how, you know, they parade all of Jesse's sons. There's seven of them that walk in front of the prophet Samuel. And Samuel immediately thinks that the oldest and the tallest and the smartest and the cutest and all that is the one that's going to be the one that God's going to use to be the king. And as you know the story, it goes through, and our listening audience can read up 1 Samuel chapter 16 and kind of catch up on this story later. But you know, they go through all seven of Jesse's sons, and none of these guys are the one that God had picked, okay?
Exactly.
And then, you know, Samuel says to Jesse, do you have another son, by the way? And he goes, and in the Message Bible, it says, oh, yeah, the runt. The runt's out tending the sheep, meaning David. Now, interestingly enough, in 1 Samuel 16, it is pointed out here to Samuel. God points out to Samuel, you know what? I don't look at how tall somebody is, how cute they are, how great they sing, or anything like that. I look at the heart, okay? I look at the heart. God looks at the heart. And this is what we want to focus on today, Pastor Deb. We want to talk about our hearts and preparing our hearts, preparation time to get the miracles that God wants to bless us with. So that's where we are. You're kind of caught up, even though you weren't at church this morning. Connie, are you there?
Yes.
Yes, there you are, driving. Okay.
Hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you. So, Pastor Deb, Connie, either one of you jump in here. When we so often feel that we aren't worthy of the miracle, is there something wrong in our hearts that needs to be corrected in our heads, in our hearts? Connie, I'm going to give you the first stab at that, and then Deb, get ready to comment on it.
Yes. You know, one thing, when we were going through this story this morning, I love this story, and the song that we're going to listen to after this is just so cool. But what I found interesting and what really struck me was that Jesse knew he had 8 sons.
Right.
He only brought 7 of them.
He only brought 7.
He only brought the 7. And, you know, right there, so often, unfortunately, families discount either the younger or the black sheep or whatever.
Yes.
You know, and they just don't even include them in things.
Right.
And so, you know, when your own family does that, it makes it for a really hard time for your heart and your head to get.
Boy, that's a good point.
Worthy.
That's a huge point. You want to piggyback on that, Pastor Deb?
Well, yeah, I do find it interesting that you know, that Jesse just left him out because he just didn't think he was worthy.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I have to agree with everything that Connie said because, you know, it's all about our self-esteem.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, nobody can correct that but us.
Right.
And, you know, we do it to other people in our lives, like Connie said, you know, our children, our friends, whatever, you know, we just kind of leave them out.
Right.
But, you know, at some point, it all comes down to us.
Yes.
And, you know, preparing your heart to be ready for what God has for you. But, you know, I find it interesting that at the same time, we may not realize that we are preparing our heart.
Okay. Good point. Amplify on that.
Well, we were talking about this at lunch today.
Lunch,
Pastor Alice and my good buddy, Pastor Chris, we had lunch today.
In Houston. And you had lunch in Houston, right?
Houston,
instead of Tampa Bay.
We had lunch
Bay.
In Houston today. And we were talking about the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And how God has worked individually in each of our lives.
Right.
And how, on some level, you know, life, i.e. Satan...
Right.
Tore us all down.
Right. Yes.
You know, because Satan is the one that makes us feel that we're not worthy.
Right.
And, you know, earlier you and Connie were talking about, you know, why do we believe, like Connie said, you know, the rag mags and what they say.
Right.
You know, why do we believe these things that everybody else says, but we won't believe the Word of God?
Exactly. Yes.
Well, here's the deal, okay? This is why I think we believe it over the Word of God. Because Satan thinks, feels, does, everything that he does, he adds visuals to it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, he puts those temptations out there.
Right.
Okay? God doesn't do that because God has given us that free will, and God wants us to have that righteous heart, that good heart.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't think that he has to put on the dog and pony show that
boy,
Satan does.
Boy, isn't that true.
Okay, so it's real easy if we've got this dog and pony show going on over here, and we can see that. that. We can touch it.
Right.
We can taste it.
Yes.
But, you know, with God, it's all about reading God's Word, ingesting God's Word into our lives, making that real.
Yes. Believing
it. If you read God's Word and you stay in God's Word, it comes alive inside of you.
Amen.
And you can touch it and
yes.
taste it.
Yes.
Feel it. But Ooh. It's taken that first little step. And we were talking at lunch today about how life tears you down.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know? And at some point, life is going to tear you down enough that you're going to say, okay, fine, I need help.
Right.
And you're either going to take choice A, which in my book is always what God tells me to do.
Right.
Or you're going to take choice B.
Right.
Well, the sermon that we heard this morning at Community Gospel here in Houston, he was talking about how God gives us these choices.
Right.
You know, we say, okay, God, help us. And you get choice A and you get choice B. And God says, well, you know, I really think you should do choice A. And we're like, yeah, but B just looks so good. And
oh,
we keep
boy.
Choosing B and we keep choosing B and we keep choosing B.
Isn't that the truth?
And the cool thing about all that is that God's right there the whole time.
Yes.
He doesn't go, well, you didn't do what I wanted you to do, so guess what? I'm out of here.
He's ready to pick us up even when we make the wrong decisions, right?
And my point behind that is
yes.
we may not realize we are preparing our hearts.
Okay. Good point.
But all of these little mistakes, these B choices that we make,
right,
that we learn from, Satan doesn't get it that God's just kind of going, okay, you go ahead and learn that lesson, and when you learn that lesson, you won't repeat it again, and then you'll come back and you'll pick choice A.
Amen. Amen. So you're saying that even life's trials and struggles are part of the preparation, right?
Exactly. And to me, that's what gives us that righteousness that God wants us to have.
Okay, because we get to a point where we go, okay, I can't do this on my own. Connie, I want you to weigh in on this. Do you have a comment on this?
Well, yeah, what I was going to say was, you know, like Deb said, God doesn't feel like he needs to do this, the dog and pony show.
Right.
Because he wants to know that when you make the choice, your heart is in it.
Yes.
That, you know, the things of the world, the things that the devil teases and torments us with, never last.
Right.
What he has will always last.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So he wants to know that when we make that decision, that we've made it wholeheartedly, and that way, not that we may not waver sometimes until we grow, but he knows that we've made it through and through. We've
yes.
made that decision.
Yes. It's a quality decision. Yes.
Amen.
Quality decision.
Yep. And because of that, then we are allowing God to reshape our minds and our hearts and, you know, get us to the point where we're willing and able to see the miracle that's coming our way, you know?
You know, we've talked before, too, about how when we make choices and when we have times where he's trying to teach us something, we don't take the right road.
Right.
And so, you know, after a while of taking the wrong road, you kind of learn that you might as well learn the lesson then instead of over it.
It would have been easier, right?
Yeah, so, you know, after a while, you kind of know how he's trying to teach you.
Exactly.
And you kind of either get in line or you keep falling off.
Yep. Well, I'm looking at Psalm 51 that David wrote when after he had been confronted by the prophet Nathan because he was caught in adultery. Because David was not perfect and he was human and he made some mistakes. And one of those was the adultery with Bathsheba. And David writes Psalm 51. Now, we know that David expected and received tons of miracles from God in his 70 years. But it's interesting that David starts out with Psalm 51 saying, God, you are generous in love. You give grace. You are huge in mercy. You wipe out my bad record. How interesting that is. You scrub away my guilt. You soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. you're the one that I've sinned against. And then he goes on and talks about this. But down in verse 7 of Psalm 51, David says, soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. That is when we get to a point in our humanness where we say, you know what? This thing or this way I'm thinking and behaving just isn't working for me. I need to believe God for a miracle to change me so that I become that person that God can use more powerfully. And it starts, I throw this to both of you and I want your comments. It starts with a heart that says, okay, God, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I can't clean myself up. I don't even know where to start to clean myself up. I don't know where to begin to get myself prepared for the miracles that you have for me. God, I want you to show me. And that's what David was doing here in his repentance. And repentance means turning around and going the other way, 360 degrees, you know, going the other direction. Say, God, I'm sorry. Before this song, Shepherd Boy, let's have your comments, both of you, a couple minutes each here. Pastor Deb, start with you. What do you think about all this?
I was reading on after verse 7 about, you know, soak me in the laundry. I really like what it says here in the Message Bible. Tune me into foot-tapping songs, set that once broken bones to dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think it's cool how God does that.
Yeah.
You know? And he puts this out there, and
yeah,
you do have to get to a point in your life where you just can't do it anymore, and you throw your hands up and you say, you know, help me, help me.
Yes.
But when you get to that point and you ask for that help, you have to be ready to listen.
Yes.
For what God has next.
Absolutely. You got to.
That's why.
Yes.
That's why I like what this says. Tune me into foot tapping songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, show me. And he does it so easily, and it's just it's simple, and it's not scary, I don't think.
But you're saying to God, put me in a position to receive,
right?
Prepare my heart to receive the miracle. Connie, do you have a comment on that?
Obedience is very difficult.
Oh yeah,
and I think that once you get your heart right, it's not being obedient. Doing the right thing, and I mean, he may call it being obedient, and people may see from the outside that you're being obedient, which you really are, but it's what you want to do.
Exactly.
And somebody once told me that you only have to do something until you want to do it, then you don't have to do it anymore.
Oh, boy, can we quote you on that? That's good, isn't it, Deb?
Sure.
Say that,
yeah, but,
say
you know,
that again.
You say that, I got to tell you this. You know, you said that, say that again, you only
have to do something until you want to do it. You only have to do something until you want to do it. You don't have to do it anymore.
Because you just want to. It's all changed.
You know what, Connie? You'll be happy to know that I have been smoke-free for a week.
Praise God.
For you.
And I got to the point where I wanted to do it so bad.
Wow.
And I did it cold turkey.
Wow. We're proud of you.
You say that.
It's a perfect example. Perfect example.
Yes.
And you know, you say that, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's me quitting smoking this week.
Yes. Praise God.
So,
woo.
I know you've been after me for that, Connie, so I had to share that with you.
Woo! We're happy, Connie. That's an answer to prayer. That's an answer to prayer. Shepherd Boy by Ray Bolts. And when Connie put this song on the CD for today's radio show, she did not know I was going to teach on David today. So both of you stay with us if you want. Connie, if you need to go, we understand. Shepherd Boy, Ray Bolts.
One by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. And each one passed, except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he never wear a crown. But
shepherd boy, God makes you king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch you. Shepherd boy, God makes you a king. One by one, problems come, dreams get shattered. Sometimes it's hard. And things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in his hands. And when others see a shepherd,
love that song. Oh, I've always loved that song. Connie, that was great. Are you still with us?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That just says it all, doesn't it? It does, because it shows that God can use any of us, all of us, wants to perform miracles in our life. He is wanting to do this. Deb, we are so proud of you with this smoking thing. And there are people out there listening today that need a miracle like that. You know, they need, maybe they have an addiction issue with alcohol. One of our people a few months back went through 90 AA meetings in 90 days, and he is alcohol free. And he got to a point in his life where, laying on his bathroom floor, he reached up and he just said, God, take the craving away. Now, that's a miracle, that what happened with this man in our church. He just said, God, take it away. I cannot do this anymore. I can't live this life. And he had been an alcoholic since he was 6 years old. His testimony is incredible. Guys, we've got to believe God for these miracles. Pastor Deb, comment on all that, and then Connie, it's your turn.
You know, it gets easier as time goes on. I've tried to quit smoking so many times.
Yes.
And I've tried the patches and the gums and the pills and everything else. And I finally, talk about preparing your heart.
Yes.
I finally had to get in my head that, you know, it's really easy to say, oh, well, I'm an alcoholic or I'm a drug addict. If, you know, you're using illegal drugs or whatever, okay?
Right.
But when it comes to smoking,
right,
it's not illegal.
Right.
But you know what? It's still a drug.
Right.
And I'm a nicotine addict.
And it's still, you become a slave to it, too.
And
you know?
I had to get that in my head.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I had to get that in my head that just like if I were to walk into an AA meeting, which I have done before, okay,
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, my name's Deb and I'm an alcoholic, I had to say to myself, My name's Deb, and I'm a nicotine addict.
Right.
God, I'm powerless over this.
Yes.
Take this away from me.
Yes.
Now, I got to tell you, and I hope you laugh when I say this, last Wednesday, I was ready to bite the head off a live chicken.
Made you kind of edgy and jumpy and mean and all that kind of stuff, probably.
But
as your body got used to it.
I felt that. I just said, you know, okay, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Woo, praise God.
And I don't know how many times I repeated that over and over and over on Wednesday.
That's all right. Okay.
You know, and Thursday it was better, and Friday it was better, and Saturday it was better. And, you know, it's just like every day it gets better. And every day that little whatever it is goes away even more.
Amen. That craving. Praise God. Connie, go ahead.
You know, you got to believe.
Exactly. That's it. You got to believe that God wants to do this. It's like Doug said, we were talking about this, the guy I was just mentioning, and he just said, I simply said, God, take it away from me. I believe you can. Now I'm asking you to do it. And I mean, he did. God did. That is a huge miracle. Connie, you want to comment on that?
Well, I was thinking of my back being healed.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Well, I guess three or four weeks ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
We were praying for back.
Yes.
And every time I felt pain, I just said, just like you told everybody else to say, thank you, God, for my healing.
Amen, amen.
I have to say that the last couple days, I was off for about 9 days. I had a little vacation break. And I was off, and the last couple days, my back has been killing me.
Uh-huh.
And I kept saying, I am not, I said, devil, you're a liar.
Right.
I am not believing this.
Right.
I am not believing this. And I just kept saying, thank you, God, for my healing. And I did take a couple of anti-inflammatory pills because it was bothering me.
Right.
And, but it's gone. I was sitting here in the car and, you know, it hasn't bothered me all day today. It hasn't. You know, so I know I was healed, and nobody could tell me different.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is what we're talking about, guys, girls. This is the miracle, the way that God wants to work in our lives are things like this, so that you can say, Deb, to somebody, you know what? I've been delivered from my addiction to smoking. I don't need it anymore. I don't do it anymore. Connie, you can say, God healed my back. You know, he touched me in a service. The anointing, the healing anointing was so strong. I am telling you, we are going to see miracles, guys, in 2010 like we have never seen before. I know it in my gut. You know what I'm saying?
And you know, yeah. Pastor, I can't reiterate enough that people think when you say, I'm believing in miracles, I know we're going to see miracles in 2010. The majority of the people think, that means I'm going to get the winning lotto numbers.
Right, yeah.
You know, that means that, you know, I'm going to find, $100 bill
right.
laying on the sidewalk.
And sometimes people do find those things, actually.
Yeah.
You never know.
And sometimes people do, but my point is that the miracles that we're talking about are not necessarily the big, humongous, you know, can't believe it's true kind of thing.
Right.
You know, it's the little bitty things.
It happens to.
Right. What's that, Connie?
They're big to the person that it happens to.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Right.
You know, but it's the little bitty things. And if you see the little bitty miracles that happen in your life every day, it'll be so much easier to see those bigger ones when they happen.
Absolutely. When you pray and believe God for your headache to leave. When you, like for me, when in real estate, I had to walk into a very challenging listing appointment the other day. And as I was walking up the driveway, I knew this was going to be a difficult situation. I just said, God, you're just going to have to help me. You're going to have to give me the words to say. And I wasn't feeling good. I was fighting a little coldish, you know, symptoms. But I tell you what, it turned out beautiful, and it's everyday things is what you're saying. And yet, wouldn't you say, Deb, that delivering you from nicotine after all these years is a pretty huge miracle?
Yeah, considering that it's been over 40 years.
Alrighty then. Okay. That's my point, because when I said to Doug the other day, how many years have you drank? He said, since I was six. And I was just like floored by that, you know, that this has been a bondage for this man this long, you know? And so what we're saying is God wants to invade our space. He wants to become such a vital part of your life and my life that, yes, we believe him to straighten out situations in our lives. We believe him to give us wisdom when we need it. And we got to talk about this a minute before Connie has to go into the hospital. Psalm 51:7, soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. I like the way the Message Bible puts that. Soak me in your laundry. Have you ever had a stain on something that just had to have some OxyClean? You had to soak it for a while? You know, I dropped something on my favorite sweatshirt last weekend that I was eating. It was something to do with chocolate, I think. And anyway, it just left this nasty little stain there. And I mean, I had to work on this. I had to soak it. It didn't just come out because I said, oh, go away, stain. You know, it wasn't like that. I had to do something about it. Okay. We have to soak sometimes in the word till we renew our minds and we begin to let our faith level rise so that we can believe that God wants to and that God can do the miracle we need. So I'll shut up a minute and let you both comment on that. Connie, you go first because I know you're going to have to get off the air in a minute.
Well, you know, the greatest part of that is the fact that no matter what, all we have to do is ask for the opportunity and he'll give it to us.
Amen.
First set of second chances, or if it's the millionth, hundredth, trillionth chance.
Right.
So it's, he is a merciful God. His mercies are new every day.
Amen.
And we always have the opportunity to start fresh with him.
Amen.
You ask for forgiveness. He doesn't throw stuff up in your face. Sometimes our family and our friends say, yeah, but you're this and you're that. You know, but he's not that kind of person.
Amen.
He doesn't do that. And so we feel free to come to him and say, you know, God, please give me another chance. Forgive me for what I've done.
Right.
And, you know, and you start over with a fresh slate.
Woo, that's exactly right. Deb, do you have a comment on that?
Connie just says it so well.
She does, doesn't she?
I think it's awesome that you know, our God is a God of second chances.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that you know, as Connie said, you know, he does. He wipes that slate clean.
Right.
Because I know I've used third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances a lot.
Haven't we all?
Yeah.
And what we're saying is that, God, we want you to search us, prepare us. I've got to go back to Psalm 139, 23 and 24, which are two of my favorite verses, and also written by David. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. In the New American Standard, it says this: search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. In the Message Bible, which is a paraphrase and it's more in our modern day language, it says this: investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. I love that. Our attitude as we prepare for this season of miracles is, search me, O God, and let me know if there's something in me that's keeping me from seeing the miracles right in front of me or receiving them. Now, you both need to comment on that. Connie, you got to go first because I know you're getting ready to get off phone now.
Well, actually, I'm not quite there yet. So
okay.
I'm good. But that's the whole thing, is we've got to be introspective and then ask for his help. We can't do it on our own.
No.
Got to have his help, and he provides the opportunity.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's like when I'm coming across the bridge going to work, I pray, God, this is your day.
Yes.
Help me. Help me do what I'm supposed to do and make, you know, keep me in line and make it happen.
Right. Exactly.
And he does.
But it's an attitude of being aware of God's presence in our lives, isn't it, both of you? Yeah, when we just go through life and we just kind of forget that God's around and whatever, it really, nothing gets done for the kingdom of God when we aren't actively expecting that miracle. You can't tell me that all these athletes have gone to Vancouver and that they walked in with an attitude, you know what, I just came for the fun. I'm not really cared if I got a medal or not. They came to win, did they not?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm doing this spiritual race to win this race. You know, Deb, do you have a comment on all that?
You have to stay in the race.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you have to keep your mind focused on the fact that everything that happens in this life, you know, that is good for you is of God.
Yep.
But you also have to keep your mind focused on the fact that everything that happens in your life that puts up a red flag for you,
mm-hmm.
that's not of God. You know, I mean, that's...
We got to learn. Yeah, we got to learn that. Yes.
And you have to stay aware of both sides of it.
Right.
Because Satan's going to try to trick you up any way he can.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
Dirty dog.
Yes, he is.
So you got to stay aware, and I think it's really interesting. You said something earlier about, you know, going through life and not being aware of God and His miracles and everything, God's presence in our life. I thought to myself, yeah, and, you know, it's really funny how sometimes God whacks me upside the head with a 2x4 and goes, hello?
Yes.
Where are you?
Exactly, that's what He does. Yes.
You know, and He does.
That's
and
right.
I think it's funny.
It is, but He does, you know, get our attention, does He not?
He does.
Woo! Connie, you put on this last song, That's What Mercy Is, my new song. You know, really, that's what we're talking about. God's mercy in His in our lives causes us, when we begin to understand His mercy, then we get in a position to realize we need for Him to search our hearts and to make sure that we are ready to receive what He has for us. Connie, it's always a pleasure to have you on the air with us. We'll see you next week. Actually, I'll see you Wednesday night. And Pastor Deb, hang on with me. And Connie, have a great night in the hospital tonight. Listen to this song, That's What Mercy Is, by New Song.
It's a new day dawning. It's a million miles from a past that's haunted you forever. It's a prayer that's answered. It's a second chance for a life you never, ever even dreamed that you could live. That's what mercy is. It's a hand that reaches down. That's what mercy is. It's a word forgiven, shouted straight from heaven to a heart that's broken from the only one who'll make it whole again. It's a song of freedom, sung for all who listen. There's a door wide open, saying all you weary souls, come right on in. That's what mercy is. It's a hand that reaches down and lifts you up again, no matter where you've been. That's what mercy is. It's a voice that's calling out, come back home again. You can come back.
Wow, that's a great song. That's what mercy is. It's that hand that reaches down to us, Deb. When we don't deserve it, we receive God's mercy. When we haven't done anything to earn it, God is right there with his love and his mercy.
And, you know, that's the greatest thing about our God, about my God, is that we get so much that we don't deserve.
Right. He blesses us.
And I say that, I don't say that because, you know, my self-esteem is not where it should be.
Right.
You know? I mean, we get so much, so many second chances, so much.
So many blessings. Blessings,
yeah,
yes.
Because God loves us.
Amen. Amen.
Short, fat, ugly, pretty, zits, no zits, you know?
Exactly. It doesn't matter because God loves us the way we are. I was reading in Psalm 139, the first part of it last night, about how God forms us in the womb and he knows us in our mother's womb and he creates us the way he creates us for a reason. And every single person out there listening today, Deb, God's got a purpose for their life. And it doesn't matter, again, like you just said, whether they're smart, they're not, whether they're this, they're that, they're green or purple, gay or straight, whatever it is, God has a purpose for each of us in our lives. He created us because he loves us. He has a plan for us. And I think that as we approach this whole topic of miracles, Deb, we got to approach it with the fact that we declare and believe God does want to do miracles in my life. Me, little old me, little, you know, cotton picking me, you know. You know what I'm saying? From the hills of Indiana, you know, God wants to do miracles. There aren't any hills or a few hills in Indiana. But anyway, no matter where we're from, no matter what our past has been, no matter what mistakes we've made, that's what I hear you saying, Deb.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I have a daughter who stubborn does not even define her.
Oh, okay.
And, you know,
I do too. I've got one of those too.
Yeah. Well, she was brought up in the church.
Right.
But she's kind of strayed away from the church because, you know, it just doesn't fit her where she's at in her life right now. You know,
right.
She's in her 30s and she wants to go and party and do all this other stuff. And, I just patiently keep waiting. But, you know, sometimes it takes the disasters in our lives.
Yes.
To start changing us.
Right.
And, you know, about 4 years ago, she had a disaster in her life. She has them all the time, but this one was pretty big.
Okay.
And, you know, we're starting to see a change in her.
Amen.
That she's realizing that, she's starting to realize that, okay, this old way doesn't work.
Exactly.
So I just keep, you know, reminding her when she calls me and has this, you know, this epiphany moment of, wow, guess what, Mom, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, and you know what? You need to thank God for that because God
exactly.
did that for you.
Right.
And she's kind of like, yeah, okay, Mom, whatever.
Right.
You know, but I just keep putting those little tidbits in there.
Right.
Because not everybody is lucky enough to have somebody in their life that, you know, that has a good relationship with God and that walks in God's word to help you along.
Exactly.
But I'm trying, you know, that's my job, one of my jobs. That's why God gave me kids.
Exactly.
You know, is to bring them up the way he wanted,
amen.
You know, in his word.
Right.
So I just keep kind of throwing it, and it's kind of interesting to watch.
Right, isn't
as,
it? Yeah.
As the comments of, yeah, okay, Mom, whatever, get a little bit farther away.
Well, because
she's starting to see that, okay, maybe this God thing isn't so bad.
Well, I had this similar conversation with my youngest son last night, and we were talking about the fact that he said, you know, I've got this situation in my life. I need to really trust God. And when I go back and think about this, this, and this, when I really did trust God, it all turned out fine. And he said, so I guess I just talked myself into the answer. And I said, you're right, son, that's the answer. Because it comes down to let's trust God for the miracles that we need in our lives. Let's trust God to prepare our hearts. You said it earlier, Deb, sometimes we're being prepared and we don't even know it. And I believe that about your daughter, okay,
well,
and my daughter,
I do too.
Too.
And, you know, you talk about your son and how,
right.
you know, I guess I just kind of talked myself into the right choice.
Right, exactly.
But the cool thing about that is that I used to think that. I used to think that, oh, well, I just talked myself into making the right decision.
Right.
See, now I don't think that. Now I know that I was like, okay, I listened to God.
There you
and
go.
God told me what
Amen.
To do, and I did it.
Amen, girl.
You know? And it's like, it's interesting how, and, you know, I still find myself doing this all the time. And I think I do it maybe out of embarrassment, I guess. Because it depends on where I'm at as to what I say. But sometimes I'll be talking to somebody and go, yeah, well, you know, this little voice said to me, you know. I know that that's God.
It's God. And we've got to give God the credit here. I talked about that this morning in the sermon, too, about how often sometimes we don't acknowledge that God really is talking to us. And
yeah.
It just, Deb, we're about out of time. We got just a couple minutes. Get ready for your final thought while I do this. We are so glad you're joining us every week live on this radio station. We love 1340. They're great. And we love being on this. Tell friends about our show. It's every Sunday at 4:30 Tampa time. And we, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 11, Wednesday night at 7. Deb, your final thought. We got 1 minute.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you want to prepare yourself to be able to see God's miracles and to know that they're God's, try this one thing for a month. Every little bitty cool thing that happens in your life, say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You hit all the green lights on the way to work. Thank you, God. You know, you find a penny on the ground outside the drugstore. Thank you, God. Because if you start looking at all those little bitty things,
you're
and thanking God for
Woo!
It, then you're going to go, wow, this really works.
Boy, that'll preach, girl. All right. And you know what? Your buddy, Pastor Chris, why don't you invite him to be on the radio show with us soon, okay?
I will do that.
All right. So we are, thank you, Deb, for calling in. And Connie is already at the hospital working already. And for all of you, if you have prayer requests, we have a global prayer initiative. It's called prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. That's the address. Send your request and Alice will get out a prayer for you and get it to our prayer team, which is also global. We're seeing tremendous answers to prayer. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can be one of the prayer team prayers by also sending an email to that address and joining the prayer team, and it is global. You have been listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we can start the ending song there, Bill. We got a new engineer. God bless you. Have a great day. Join us again next Sunday at 4:30 from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God loves you, and we love you.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.